Good morning, church. How's it? Is this on? Glad you're here this morning. You know, when Jesus launched his ministry, he quoted from Isaiah 61. In verse 3, I want this one little piece of that. It's on my heart this morning. It says to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Anybody come in with maybe a little heavy? You don't have to, just a rhetorical question. A little heaviness today? Well, so I want you to picture putting this garment of praise. We're going to be talking more about that this morning. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Let's invite the Holy Spirit who has joy ready for us. Yes? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you that you are God. We thank you that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Would you clothe us in those things? Whatever we brought in here today, God, would you put on the garment of praise on our shoulders? We praise you because of who you are and what you've done for us. Send your Holy Spirit into this place. In Jesus' name, amen. So welcome again to our worship service. Welcome to our live stream worshipers. If you'll rise, if you're able, let's worship.
Good morning, let's sing together.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day.
So, Jeff, did you know they could sing? I did you know that they can sing? I heard them that time. Let's keep worshiping together.
We bring the sacrifice of praise to the praise.
If the children would come forward.
Hey guys, you're excited to be here, aren't you? Yes, all right. Hey girls, come on in. Come on up. Scoot in, scoot in, scoot in, scoot in. Scoot in, are you? Come on. Let's get in. No, come on over here. Come on over here. Good to see y'all this morning. How's everybody this morning? Everybody good? Give me a thumbs up if you're good. All right. Very good. So this morning, we're going to talk about our hands. Okay. Everybody wave at me. Can you wave at me so I'll know you're here with me? All right. Okay. So do we have two hands? No. Yeah. No? Okay. You have one hand? All right. So are our hands pretty good? Do we like our hands? Yeah, so what are some things that we can do with our hands? You can do a handstand. Very good. And a cartwheel. We can pray. Wave. That's very good. Yes. You can do push-ups. All right. Yes. You can write with a. You can write a letter. You can write. How about can you hold your Bible? Yes. And a hug. That's right. You can swim, that's right. How about, can you answer the phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. How about if you're eating a snack? Do you need your hands to eat a snack?
No.
No, you don't?
Yes.
Right. How about holding somebody's hand, like your mom and dad's hand? Yeah. Or your friend's hand, or brother and sister, right? Yeah. So our hands are important, right? So we're going to talk about, do you know that God has hands?
Yes.
You do?
Yes,
yes. So I got to thinking and I got to reading and about how big God's hands are. Do you think God's hands are the same size as our hands?
No.
No, they're not. Do you think they're bigger or smaller?
Bigger.
Bigger, that's right. So I'm going to read some scripture verses that tells us what God holds in his hands, okay? And it says in Job 12:10, in his hands is the life of every creation. Wow. And then it says in Job 36:2, he fills his hands with lightning.
He does.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and he commands it to strike. And then it says in Psalms 19:2, the heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim the works of his hands. Did you know that God threw those stars into the sky using his hands? Yeah. And then it says in Psalms 95:4, in his hands are the depths of the earth and the mountain peaks. Is that big hands? Yeah. Okay. And then it says in Isaiah 40:12, he has measured the water in the hollow of his hands. He's holding all the water in his hands. Can you hold your hands like this? How much water do you think you would get?
Not enough.
Not enough, right? Yeah. What? Yeah. 1 inch maybe. Yeah. But God is holding all of the water in his hands. And then he can measure the heavens with the width of his hand. Can you measure the heavens with your width of your hands? No. So are God's hands big? Does he need big hands? Yes, he does need big hands. But, you know, as we think about all those things, there's one thing that God is holding in his hand all the time. And do you know what he's holding in his hands?
The world.
The world, yes. But he's holding us. And it says in John 10:28, it says, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. When we love God, and we accept Jesus, God is holding us in his hand. Wow. Can you imagine right now? Can you think about God holding you in your hand, in his hands right this very moment?
Yeah.
Is he holding all of us?
Yeah.
He is. That's right. Does he see you? Does he know you? Does he care about you? God made us. That's right. And it's amazing that God's hands are big enough that he holds us all in his hands. And his love for us is big enough that he can love all of us. Isn't that incredible? Are we thankful that God has big hands? and that he is holding us. And do you know when you're sad or you're lonely, guess who's holding you?
God.
But when you're happy and rejoicing, who's holding you?
God.
When you're at school, who's holding you?
God.
When you're at church, who's holding you?
God.
When you're at home, who's holding you?
God.
So is God holding you all the time?
Yes.
So no matter what's going on, you can remember that God has big hands and he is holding on to you and he loves you so much. Can y'all remember that?
Yes.
All right. Let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these boys and girls that are here today. I thank you that you love us, and I thank you that your hands are big and that you are holding us, and that whatever's going on, you are with us and watching over us, and that you are holding us in the palm of your hands. And we thank you for your promise that you are with us always, Lord. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go. All right, let's go.
A little Pentecostal gather, you see that? We needed some of that in our church, amen? We could use some of that stuff. Well, welcome. I think that's it. Well, good to see everybody this morning. Good to see you. I want to go ahead and encourage you to check into this service through the app. A couple things that are coming up you need to be made aware of. Our shoebox packing event is this afternoon. It starts at 1:30, and the goal is to pack 200 shoeboxes. I think there's been a really good response to that. And so you can come individually or bring your family, spend an hour or so helping pack those shoeboxes. And remember, every box is an opportunity for the gospel to be shared with a family. So that's today at 1:30. The OCC Collection Week starts tomorrow and runs through next Monday afternoon, the 24th. And so Naomi had sent out a sign-up sheet looking for people to volunteer to help with that, and there was a great response to that. There's a couple of gaps on Saturday morning and on Monday, so you can find that email that had the link to that sign-up sheet. You can sign up that way. You can get in touch with Naomi. You can contact the church office, and we'll get you plugged in. And then Turkey Tuesday is the 25th. There's an insert in your bulletin about that, about how to help purchase turkeys if you'd like to do that, or pass those out in the Carver neighborhood. So let's stand, if you're able, and let's recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, and the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. I want to recognize again the Threads of the Heart Ministry. Those involved in that have donated some quilt items to our church that will help benefit our building fund, our future expansion. And those are on display out in the foyer. If you're not aware of that, three of those items we're doing a silent auction on, and one of those we are giving away, and you can register for that or you can bid on the auction items, and that will run through the end of our second service next week. So thank you so much, Threads Ladies, for that contribution. Also, our youth, our Tower Youth Ministry, has also provided something that is a video kind of speaking about the expansion of our facility. And this is their contribution to that. So, Lee, if you'll go ahead and play that video. Thank you, sir.
How's it going? terrible. I've measured the room 5 times, and it's still the same size.
Yeah, that's how it works.
So you're telling me the room isn't expanding for all the new people?
Exactly. That's why we're talking about expanding the building.
Right. Last Sunday, I had to sit so close to Billy that I could smell his armpits. He definitely does not shower.
Yeah, the church is growing so fast that we need a new sanctuary. We need a new gym, and even a covered playground.
Yeah. A new gym? Praise the Lord!
Yeah, but not without a little help from us. That's why we're raising funds to expand the building.
So we can fit all the families and the new basketballs.
Exactly. Imagine more room for worship and for kid ministry.
So here's the deal. We are growing, and that is a great thing, and we need your help to make room for what God is doing here.
So let's measure our faith.
The size of a mustard seed can move mountains. I bet it can even move walls.
I like that, Trip. With a lot of prayer, we can work together to make this expansion happen.
So let's build bigger walls so God can fill even bigger hearts. We're Daisy and Trip, and we approve this message.
Trip is a trip. Yeah. Trip, are you here this morning? I know where you live, by the way. How about Daisy? Is Daisy here?
No.
I know where she lives, too. I noticed she didn't have anything to say, but apparently she approved that message along with Trip. So thank you, youth, for that. That was awesome. So I just want to share a few thoughts about the expansion, what God has laid on our heart as a fellowship. And, you know, they highlighted a new sanctuary, which would be good. And the reason that they highlighted that, this space here will be converted into classroom space. And we are in desperate need of discipleship. Space, discipleship area, discipleship classes. Let me give you an example of that need. So we just finished up our Wednesday night ministries for the fall, and Glenda Bearden and Becky DeBoer prepped those meals for us, or several of the ladies that helped serve those meals. And I think on an average, we probably served 165 or so, Glenda, on an average, probably. She's shaking her head, yes. And but that's not everybody that comes on Wednesday nights. The youth are running anywhere from 50 to 60, and we probably have 12 to 15 youth that come to the meal, so you can add another 45 to 50 on top of that. Also, there's a number of adults that don't eat here at church. They'll eat before they come. And so we could easily be north of 225 to 230 people that need discipleship space on a Wednesday night. On Sunday mornings, we run about maybe 100, 110. So the big need is Wednesday nights. And I told the early service crowd that Jesus didn't call us to make converts. He called us to make disciples. And converts become disciples. And a disciple is a follower of somebody, somebody that buys into somebody's teaching, that are passionate about becoming more like their teacher. And so that's the call on our life. That's the call on the church's life. And we would need to be good stewards of that. And more space to do that would be incredibly, incredibly helpful. You know, Jeff's shared kind of a personal testimony about this. And, you know, he said it's not about him, which it's not. It's about what God wants to do with Wiley Methodist Church in the future. And he made the statement that he may never get a chance to preach a sermon in the new sanctuary. He'd like to do that, but that might not work out. And he's fine with that. You know, Carlene and I, we're about to close out another decade of life. I'll let you decide which decade that is. She's old, by the way. I don't know if you knew that. But I'm older. And so, you know, I don't know what the future holds for us. We're not looking to go anywhere else. And, you know, we're relatively healthy. And if we remain that way and God doesn't say do something different, we're committed to be here as long as he allows us to be here. And so we may not benefit from that expansion, but I'm okay with that. Because it's not about us. It's about people coming to know who Christ is and having a place for them to get plugged in. Have somebody that that I trust has given a prophetic word that the harvest is coming, and we need to be ready for that particular harvest. I trust this person. So that's what this is about. It's not about a new structure. It's about people and how lives can be transformed. Amen, everybody?
Amen.
Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. So, Father, we do love you. And I think about Jesus, this awesome call that you placed on the church to make disciples that bring glory and honor to you. And so, Father, we don't need programs, even though programs are good. We need supernatural strategy from the Holy Spirit as to how to make this happen in such a way that you're glorified and that you're honored. Lord, I thank you for the body of Christ at Wiley Methodist Church. God, you have gifted all of us uniquely. And your word says that you place people in the body exactly where they need to be. Every one of us in this building, every one of us that call Wiley Methodist home, claims that to be their church home. God, you have gifted us and you have a purpose for us in this facility. And somehow, supernaturally, all these parts just work together and function as one body. God, would you make us one in that aspect? Lord, we enjoy unity here that's unique. We've talked about that. We praised you for that. We thank you for that, God. But take us deeper. Just take us deeper as far as our love for one another. Help us, God, to be more passionate about bearing one another's burdens, fulfilling Jesus, your law. And all this is so that the world will know that you are good and kind and loving. So, Lord, however long you tarry, Jesus, however long that this earth is going to continue to function, God, I pray your blessings and anointing on Wiley Methodist Church. Continue to use this church to impact our community and the world. Oh, we love you so much, Father. I lift up our pastor as he preaches about the sacrifice of praise this morning. Open our ears, Holy Spirit. Open the eyes of our heart so that we'll get it. I know there's some people this morning that the last thing on their mind, the last thing they'd want to do is to praise you. I pray you free us up this morning to have a heart of gratitude, to give you the praise that you deserve. Jesus, we love you, and we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power, glory forever. Amen. Thank you again, church, for your financial faithfulness. As always, the giving options are on the screen. The offering boxes are by the doors. If you have a prayer request this morning and you would like to fill out a prayer request form, you can drop that in the offering box as well. Remind you, we'll have people after the service to pray with you. And if you want to come to the altar at any point during our worship times, and if you'd like somebody to pray with you, I'm going to encourage you to come to this side of the altar. And if you just want to spend time alone with the Lord, I encourage you to come to this side as well. Let's stand and continue to worship.
So I told the early service, Jeff's been in a couple weeks of this series, and we've done a lot of praise when it's joyful, praise when it's good, praise when everything's going right. But he just talked a second ago about the fact that sometimes it's not going good. Sometimes the last thing on our mind is praise. We need a praise in that too. So as we sing this, sing with us. And let's continue to praise.
sure by now, God, you would have reached out and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I'll say amen, and it's still raining. And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I am with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I cried, you hold in your hand, you never left my side. Is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I am with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I cry, you hold in your hand, you've never left my side. And though my heart is torn, fill the atmosphere.
You may be seated.
Good morning again, church. Glad you're worshiping with us this morning. If you are a guest, we're especially glad you're here. We love you being here. Hope you feel the Spirit. Hope you feel the love of Christ through His people. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe that says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out. I'd love to meet you at the end of the service. If you're our guest, down at this end of the foyer, have a free gift for our guests. Would love to visit with you. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. One verse today, very powerful verse, a lot said in this verse. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, You are indeed welcome here. We ask You now to speak in power and authority. Stir our hearts and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So concluding the series that started a couple of weeks ago, Hallelujah Living, today's, as you've seen and heard, today's message is sacrificial praise. I read about a farmer who lost nearly everything in a tornado. He lost his barn, his equipment, most of his crops, and yet that next Sunday, he went to church. He was singing the hymns with great joy. Afterwards, after the service, someone asked him, how can you sing such praises when you've lost almost everything? And the farmer said, the storm took my stuff, but it didn't take my Savior. Sacrificial praise. Praise is not based on true praise. It's not based on our circumstances. It's not how we feel. It's an offering to God that flows from our grateful hearts. So I want to ask you, as we start this message talking about praise, do you know what Jesus has done for you? I mean, do you know what Jesus has done for you, really? Because if we don't understand that, then we can't understand this message, quite frankly. I've said this before, but Jesus knew what awaited him in Jerusalem. He knew that he would be beaten and he would be falsely accused and he would ultimately be sentenced to death, die a painful, horrible death. And yet he would rise on the third day. He knew those things, and we read in Mark that Jesus, even after he said those things to the disciples, it says that they were on their way to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. Because he wasn't drug, kicking and screaming. He is the sacrificial Lamb of God for us, the Passover Lamb, the eternal Passover Lamb. But he wasn't drug, kicking and screaming to the cross. He went, he chose, he made a conscious decision to go and to suffer for us. And so, if we know that, then our praise for him pours out of a grateful heart for who he is and what he's done for us, beyond our circumstances. So let's just dive into this verse today. There's a ton for us to learn out of this verse. First of all, praise transcends feelings and circumstances. Hebrews 13:15 that we just read today says it this way: let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. That means through all circumstances, and it's hard, isn't it? Am I the only one that finds that difficult? To praise Him, but keeping our, we talked some about this last week, keeping our focus on eternal things, on what who God is and what He's accomplished for us, we are called to continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Last week we looked at Philippians 4, and verse 4 says this: rejoice in the Lord when things are going well. Oh, it doesn't say that? Let me read that again. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. And as we talked about last week, he wrote that in a cold prison. He had, and so you can read all about this in Acts chapter 16, but I promised last week I was going to unpack that a little bit more. Paul and Silas, they're in Philippi, and here was their great offense. Here's why they're in prison. They cast a demon out of this slave girl who was, she was a slave, and her owners, she had the ability through this demon to predict the future, and they made money off of her. And she's following around Paul and Silas, and she's saying, they're talking about how to get to the Most High God. And she's screaming out who they are and what they're up to. And Paul finally had enough. Paul turns around and goes, in the name of Jesus, come out. The demon left her, and she was restored to her right mind. And she lost the ability to predict the future. Her owners didn't like that because they were making money off of her. So they went and falsely accused Paul and Silas. They said all sorts of things, kind of like they did with Jesus, to get them punished. Well, they beat them severely and threw them into prison. And they were in the center cell of the prison, which was for the worst of the worst. So they're in prison. Paul and at this think about it. In that moment, their great sin was they were proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they cast out a demon from this woman. And their reward for that was to be beaten and thrown in prison. I'm sure they weren't thinking, hallelujah, this has been awesome. But what instead of in that moment, and I said this last week, y'all sing it with me, that instead of being like what I would think they'd be, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Instead of having that mindset, y'all like that? Should I record that? Yeah, see if I can sell it. Yeah. So instead of woe is me and cursing God for not rewarding them for their faithfulness, what were they doing? Verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They were praising God. And listen to the rest of that verse. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Can you just imagine those other prisoners hearing Paul and Silas, knowing that they were in prison just like them, that they had been bloodied and beaten and thrown into this cell, and they're praising God? Can't you just imagine the conversations? What is up with those? Have those two lost their mind? They're praising God, and in the midst of that prayer and praising, God sent an earthquake, rattled the prison, the doors and the chains fell off, the doors flung open, and they were freed. The guard, knowing he was that they were thinking they were going to escape now, knowing he was responsible and he would probably be executed for allowing them to escape, he draws his sword and he's going to kill himself. And Paul says, whoa, 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 whoa. We're still here. We're still here. He ends up leading this guard to the Lord and his whole household. Isn't that amazing how it would have been so easy for Paul and Silas to be bitter because of their circumstances? Anybody relating to this besides me in our own life? when things don't go the way we think they should go. They had every reason in the world to be bitter and to curse God, but instead they praised Him. And lives were transformed because people witnessed their praising in the midst of suffering. And it's almost like praise transcends feelings and circumstances. Secondly, we talked a little bit about this last week. Praise requires trust. If we don't trust the Lord, it's hard to praise Him. Let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, meaning it's costly. It's something. It costs us something. That word sacrifice, I looked up a good definition of that, and listen to this. I love this. Sacrifice, the act of giving up something highly valued for the sake of something considered to have greater value. A sacrifice. You sacrifice the circumstances you find yourself in because you know who God is. You know what He's done for you. You know who He is. You know how He feels about you in the midst of suffering. A sacrifice of praise. It requires trust. And I'm often drawn back to the story of Abraham and Isaac. So Abraham and Sarah, they're 90 and 100 years old. She has been barren her whole life. She's well past childbearing years. And God tells Abraham, Sarah's going to give birth to a son. It's going to come through your lineage, and it's going to be this mighty nation. And greater than there'll be more people than the stars in the sky and the grains of sand on the beach. And so Isaac is born, and as he's growing up, then God, so that's Isaac is the promised one, and then God says, oh, by the way, gather up Isaac, take him up on the mountain, and sacrifice him to me. And Abraham, trusting in the Lord, begins that journey up with Isaac, and as they're halfway up the mountain, Isaac says, Father, we've got the wood, we've got the fire, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham says, the Lord will provide it. They get up there, he ties Isaac down, he lays him out, he raises his knife to sacrifice him, and the Lord stops him because he trusted him. He stops him, and there's a ram caught in the bushes by its horns, and that ends up being the sacrifice. He trusted God, even when it didn't make sense. And I'm trying to put myself in Abraham's place. He had to be confused. The Lord has said that through Isaac, I'm going to build a mighty nation. And now He's telling me to sacrifice Isaac. What gives, God? But perhaps he thought God was going to raise Isaac from the dead. I mean, maybe. We don't know. But he trusted that the Lord was good because he knew who the Lord was, how he felt about him. Praise can be costly, and it requires faith when feelings fail. Faith when feelings fail. We trust too many times, I believe. Maybe I'm just speaking to myself this morning. Too many times we trust our feelings rather than having faith, knowing that God will provide. One of the most powerful declarations of the Lord, of His goodness, is when trials come and we trust Him in the midst of those trials. I've seen it in many of you in your lives when you face trials in your life. When you trust Him in the midst of those trials, it's a powerful declaration of the goodness of God. Praise requires trust. Thirdly, praise should be verbalized. Joe, we're going to be baptizing Joe at the end of the service. Woohoo! One of the things I tell, especially when I'm baptizing younger kids that are going to be baptized, and sometimes they get nervous and And I'll tell them, when I ask you the questions, do you confess you're a sinner? Do you repent of your sins? Do you want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? When I ask him those questions, them of questions of the faith, especially if it's a younger person, this right here isn't good enough. I said, say it. Say the word. With our mouth, we declare that Jesus is Lord. So there's this praise. It's to be verbal. It's not a silent admiration. It's not, you know, some people think that our faith, oh, that's a, it's a, I've heard that so many times. My faith is kind of a private thing. Well, that's not biblical at all. That's not biblical at all. God's word says to continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Speak it. Speak praise. Psalm 34 says it this way, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Speak it. Let your life demonstrate it. But also when someone, we should live in such a way, and this is the challenge for us, including myself. We should live in such a way that our when trials come, even if everyone else is going crazy. It reminds me, John Wesley, I love it, when he was sailing to America, y'all, some of you pastors know this story. He's sailing to America, the founder of Methodism. He's sailing to America, and they hit a storm. And Wesley, at this time, had really, I don't think he was saved. He was a preacher, but I don't think he was saved at this early point in his life. And he certainly was not assured of his own salvation. The storm comes and the ship is, he's thinking the ship's going to go down. I can just see Wesley just like, ah, we're all going to die. You know, he's panicking. And there was these Christians, the Moravians were on the boat and they're over in the corner singing Kumbaya. They're just at peace. And that was a testimony. They were praising God in the midst of the storm. And when they finally survived it and they got to shore, Wesley sought them out. He's like, why weren't you guys scared to death? You know, it was kind of a win-win. If we survive, we win. If we go to be with Jesus, we win. Our lives, when we have trials in our lives, people should look at us just like Wesley looked at the Moravians and go, why weren't you freaking out? Jesus. Because I trust him. Our words should proclaim his praises. And we want to know how to do it. Number four, praise is modeled perfectly by Jesus. You notice this verse today starts with two words, through Jesus. Through Jesus, continually offer a sacrifice of praise. As Jesus was preparing to go to the cross, John 17, Jesus said, he looked toward heaven and he prayed, Father, the time has come, glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you. What he did, how he went to the cross willfully for our sake, brought praise to the Father. Not only did it save us, but it brought praise to the Father. Our praises should be because we trust Jesus and because we're following his example. We don't come to God because we're worthy. We come to the Lord and we praise him. We give him the sacrifice of praise because of the finished work of Jesus. Through Jesus, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise. So, closing challenge. I just want to ask you, when you walk through hard days, trials in your life, you remember the old song, Why Me, Lord? You know, when I first heard the title of that song, I thought, that it was going to be somebody whining about the stuff, bad stuff in their life. But just the opposite, the song is saying, why, Lord, have you chosen to bless me? Why have you poured out your blessings on me? But too many times we use it the other way. Why me, Lord? Why am I having to suffer this and that? When we walk through the trials, instead of asking why me in that sense, maybe we should ask, how can we praise God through this and bring glory to Him? That's the challenge before us. But it's through Jesus that we're able to do that. That's the only way, not in our own strength, not in our own power, but through Jesus, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise. If you'll just bow your heads with me. Lord, we are humbled that you love us. We praise you. Father, too many times, perhaps we praise you only in the times of blessing. But Father, we want to trust you just like Paul and Silas when life is throwing us some pretty hard knocks. We want to praise you. Help us and show us through Jesus how to continually offer sacrifice of praise when it costs us something. Show us how. Empower us, Holy Spirit. You are so good. We praise you in the storm. As the farmer said, the storm may have taken our stuff, but it didn't take our Savior. He's still here. He loves us. In the name of Jesus, amen. You'll rise if you're able. The altars are open, as Billy mentioned earlier. If you don't know that Jesus that I'm talking about, He knows you, He loves you, He wants you to know Him.
Thank you.
may be seated. Family, Joe's family, if you guys want to come up. And I know as they make their way up, I know some of you Houses for Healing folks want to be up here as well. Come right on up here. We got a camera. They're not going to miss anything. Y'all can come right up here in front. Come on up, Joe. Watch your step, buddy. If you'll step right there and while I talk for just a minute. I don't want to miss a chance to talk. All right, y'all come on up. Come on up. Family, get right up there in front. All right, we got a camera. So I want to just say a couple of things. Joe has been one of our Houses for Healing guests, and he has been coming to our church for quite a while, a couple of months, five months. And he is a believer, but he is, I believe the Lord, through the goodness of so many of you, the Holy Spirit is really been blessing and softening Joe's heart. Is that accurate, brother?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and he blessed and grateful. Amen. You know, Scripture tells us that we're to be Christ's ambassadors, His representatives, and I believe that there's been several have been doing that for you and Billy and the team, the Houses for Healing team. So, Joe, I just ask you now, as you come to make this decision, do you repent? Do you confess that you're a sinner?
Yes.
Do you repent of that sin?
Yes.
And do you want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior and live in your heart?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Let's get that done. Let's get you baptized. If you'll sit right there and hold your nose. Billy's going to help me here. Joe, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, stay right there, buddy. Stay right there. That's good stuff, brother. Good stuff. And one of the things that at baptism we ask the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of you. I believe He's already there, but we want to just ask Him to just fill you from head to toe. Okay, so let's do that. If you can reach a shoulder or something, to put your hand on Joe. If you can't, touch somebody's shoulder in front of you there. Yeah. Billy, can you pray?
Yeah, Father, we thank you for Joe Perez. And Lord, you brought him to Abilene, Texas, circumstances he didn't plan on being involved in. But Father, I just thank you that you're sovereign. Mm-hmm. I thank you, God, that out of all the 20 houses he could have stayed in, that you placed him in the Brown County house. And yeah. So, Father, I just thank you for those servants, Lord, that they love so well. They love you first, and then they love the people that stay with us. And God, I'm just astounded at the way that you've touched Joe's heart.
Yes.
Through the love of Christ through people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Lord, I just want to lift him up as he moves forward. God, I pray for healing for that hip.
Yes.
Father, still a struggle there, God, would you just do something supernaturally there and give him strength there?
Mm-hmm.
Father, I just I pray that every day for the rest of his life, God, that he has a passion to know you more.
Yes.
And, Lord, that he has a heart for you. And, God, mm-hmm. I pray that you're give him opportunities to share a testimony that you've built in him through these
mm-hmm.
last 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lord, bless him. We praise you. We love you. Thank you, Jesus,
mm-hmm.
for all that you do for us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right, buddy. There's towels right around the corner there. All right, church. God is good. He is deserving of a sacrifice of praise. Go and tell someone we're dismissed. God bless you.
The more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you.
This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior, and wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.